I want to welcome you to X Church. My name is Tim. I'm the lead pastor. And we have several people that are watching from all over in the country, in Texas and Florida, Lisa and Patty and Karen, just to name a few. Can we just welcome everybody tuning in online? Just we're honored that you would connect with us from all over the place and all of you that are here. I love Christmas time. To me, it is like one of my favorite times of the entire year. There's something so special about it. There's something about it, I don't know if you feel this way, that takes me back to when I was a kid. It just kind of makes me feel like a kid again. And there's something so beautiful about the season. I think it's the greatest season of the entire year. I happen to think December is the greatest month of the entire year. And I'm not just saying that because I was born in December. I'm saying it because we celebrate the birth of Jesus this month. And so that's a big deal, isn't it? And so I love Christmas. There's something so magical about Christmas every year that I feel like a kid again. And let's be honest, when you think about Christmas, you think about the season of Christmas, can't we all agree that maybe, if you think about it, if you're grown up, that Christmas is definitely better when you're a kid, right? Those of you grown up, wasn't it better when you were a kid? I mean, think about it. You went to school, that was terrible, but then you got this really long break. And when you grew up and you got a job, people are like, no, you got to work. And you're like, what? No, it's Christmas, right? And you're off for this extended break, and you get to enjoy the magical lights everywhere without having to stand on top of a ladder dangling 20 feet in the air, wrapping lights around some tree in 40-degree weather. Any dads know what I'm talking about? Like, I refuse to do it this year, by the way. I just put my foot down. I said, I'm not doing it this year. Yeah, I got one that's with me. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you get to just enjoy presents. Hopefully, you got to unwrap that you didn't have to wrap and you didn't have to pay for. And Christmas cost you 0 cents. Man, to be a kid again, right? There is something that I loved to do when I was a kid. And as I became a father, I loved to do with my kids. And that is watch our favorite Christmas movies. There's something about Christmas movies that just kind of brings us back into the season. And there's kind of this debate on our team, our staff, as to which movie is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. And I thought maybe we could just settle that tonight, because I figure all of you surely agree with me. And so would you do me a favor on the count of three, would you just shout out the absolute best and your favorite Christmas movie, because I got a guy on our team, Zach, that just gets it wrong every single year. And so on the count of three, just shout out the greatest Christmas movie ever. One, two, three. Okay. Okay, we got someone that really loves Elf. I got any Elf fans in the house? Come on. Yeah. Elf is on my top five, okay? Elf is on my top five. By the way, also The Grinch. And I'm talking about the Jim Carrey version. Don't give me that animated stuff. Uh-uh. Don't want the animated stuff. I want the real one. Christmas Vacation. Have to watch it every year. And also on my top five is Home Alone. Yep. We can all agree, Home Alone 1 and 2, okay. 3, they should have stopped, right? It's bad. And to round out my top five, hands down, for me, is the Polar Express. There is something so magical about the Polar Express. In fact, I feel that when I watch the Polar Express, there's something about it that sits at the heart of the Christmas story. This idea that when you're young, you can kind of just believe that for some reason, though, as we get older, it kind of gets harder and harder to believe. And I was thinking, that's not just with the Christmas story. I think that's with life. Because when we're kids, let's be honest, there's something about life that it is beautiful, it's mysterious, it's innocent. And because of all those things, it's just easier to believe. You can believe that, like, people are good. You believe that the world is basically good. You believe that maybe there's a God, and that God is good. But what I have discovered so often is that as we get older, those beautiful mysteries tend to get replaced with painful memories, and it gets harder and harder to believe. Tonight, as we're here celebrating Christmas, it is my prayer and my hope for you that maybe you've grown up a little bit. Maybe you've gotten to a place where Christmas has kind of lost the power and the perspective that maybe it could bring. And my prayer for you tonight is that you could recapture that. In fact, I'd love to share with you, if I could, a part of the Christmas story that I feel gets so little airplay. It's a part that maybe some of you have never heard. It's the story of an angel that suddenly appears to an unlikely person telling them that they're going to have a son in the most impossible way. You probably never heard this. And I'm not talking about, by the way, the story of Mary and Jesus. I'm talking about a guy named Zechariah. In fact, when you look at Luke's account of Jesus' birth, it starts not with Jesus, but it starts with a guy named Zechariah. And Zechariah, one of the things we discover is Zechariah is married to a woman named Elizabeth. And as they grew up and got older and older, they just felt the pain of life as they couldn't have any kids. And one of the things that we discover about Zechariah is that he was a priest. And one of the things that priests would do is they would represent the people before God. And the priests had this very special ritual. In fact, every day in morning and evening, whichever group of priests were on duty at the temple, one lucky priest was chosen. It literally cast lots to choose one who would go into this place in the temple called the Holy Place, where they had this altar, and they would carry in with them something called incense. There's a mixture of some spices, and that's not what mattered. What it represented mattered. It represented the prayers of the people. And so the priest would go in, one lucky priest would go in the morning, and one lucky priest would go in the evening. And oh, by the way, it was so rare to get chosen. If you did get chosen, you could only do it once in your entire life. And guess what? This particular year, it was Zechariah's lucky day. He finally was chosen, and he was asked to go in and to take these spices and to present them on the altar, to burn them as a prayer for God. And I'm thinking and picturing Zechariah as he's walking up these steps and he's getting ready to go into this room and be the only one in there, and he's carrying with him a censer that's full with these spices that represent the prayers. I wonder if he's thinking about the guy that he met in the town next to them, this guy that is praying for a miraculous healing of his body because of the disease that he has keeps him from his own kids and he can't even hug them. Or I wonder if he's walking in there thinking about the widow who's praying for enough provision so that she can eat. I wonder if he walked into that room with a few prayers of his own. But Luke tells us what happened in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. It says this: while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John." Now, I'm picturing this moment, and forgive me, because when I read the Bible, I have kind of a vivid imagination, but I'm imagining Zechariah in a room all by himself, and he was supposed to be the only one in there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a room or been in your house all by yourself, and you were pretty sure that no one from your family was home, and it was dark, and then you walked into a room, and there was somebody? Freaks you out every time, doesn't it? Can I just tell you, strangely enough, that happens here at the church all the time. I don't know why it is, but for some reason, backstage, you ever get a chance to go backstage, there's a mannequin back there. And I know what you're thinking. Why is there a mannequin at the church? I get it. Apparently lighting designers really like them, okay? And so every time I'll be walking around the church, closing out the church, and it's dark and walking around, I forget, and I walk in there, and the dumb mannequin is staring right at me, freaks me out every time. So imagine Zechariah, who's in this room, and there's this altar of incense with coals on it. And he gets out his censer with the spices, and he begins to pour it over the coals. And as he's doing that, the smoke is rising, and it's burning, and it's the prayer's going on, and he's pouring it out. And right as he pours it out, boom, he sees a stranger staring right at him, standing at the edge of the altar. Let me just tell you, you would have peed your loincloth too. And this angel said to him, I've got good news for you. God has heard your prayer. I wonder if some of you here tonight, I wonder if some of you, that would be really good news, because maybe you have prayed for the same situation for months or even years. And it kind of seems like God's not there. Kind of seems like there's no answer. Can you imagine Zechariah in this moment? He's been waiting all this time, and he's told you're going to have a son. Like, what would you imagine your response being? Jump for joy, elation, fall on your knees in tears, overwhelmed with relief? You'd think that's Zechariah's response, but it's not. In fact, can I share his response? Look at verse 18 with me. Zechariah said to the angel, but how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man and my wife is also well along in years, which by the way, in the Greek means she's getting up there. Verse 19, then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't, what? Would you all say that word out loud? Since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Can you hear the doubt in Zechariah's voice? Can you hear the pain behind his response? What I hear is someone who has prayed for something over and over again and got nothing. You know, most scholars, based on the language here and what it would mean to be beyond childbearing years, estimate Zechariah and Elizabeth might have been even in their 60s. And so when I hear that and I think, man, they must have prayed for a child for not just years, but maybe decades. Some of you know the pain of praying for something for a really long time and feeling like there's no answer. And so I wonder if maybe for some of you here tonight, I wonder if some of you that this isn't just Zechariah's story, it's your story. I wonder if for some of you here tonight that there's been something in your life that you asked God for, that you begged he would do, and he hasn't. And what I have found to be so true is that oftentimes when we're younger, and maybe your experience was like mine, it was going to church. It was somebody taking me to church. It was hearing over and over that God's real. It was hearing that God answers prayers. It was hearing that God cares about your situation and God cares about you. And I wonder for some of you, if you have found it really hard to hold on to your adolescent faith. That there was a time when maybe life was simpler and it felt like it was easier to believe. But then as you got older, life got harder. And you walked through some really difficult things. You walked through some really painful experiences. And rather than belief, it left you with doubt. It maybe even left you with a lot of questions. I get it. I've had those questions. I still have questions at times. Maybe like Zechariah, your how questions made it harder and harder to hear the bells. Where you had a moment where you're asking God, how come you didn't step in and do something for my sick mother, my sick father, for my child, for my sister, my brother, the one I love that I prayed and begged you. How come, God? How does a good God allow that person to hurt me the way they hurt me? How am I supposed to believe God's fair when my whole life hasn't been fair and I can't even catch a break? How do I believe that God is really there? See, I know this because what is so simple about life when we're young, let's be honest, life's toughest moments tend to leave us with the biggest questions, the hardest questions to answer. And when your faith that's supposed to hold you up won't hold your disappointments, your pain, your heartache, your loss, what are you to do? And so my question for you tonight, some of you, when did you stop hearing the bells? When did you stop hearing it? When did you stop believing that God can do miracles? When did you stop looking for God? When did you just begin to give up hope? Because here's what I found for a lot of people. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's one moment after another moment where doubt begins to creep in and you begin to struggle to believe. And some of you, can I just say, it maybe isn't that you stop believing it, God, but maybe you just stopped hearing from God. And those disappointments and those hurt and those doubts soon crowded out any kind of belief in him. You know, the angel said to him, because you didn't believe, you will not be able to speak until your child is born. And in that moment, God closed his mouth to where he couldn't get a word out. He couldn't talk. You know, he was in that room for a really long time. In fact, everybody was worried. They were freaking out. And finally, when he came out, I imagine that his face, he was probably gray and pale. And he came out, and they're all asking him, Zechariah, what happened? And and he can't talk. The story tells us that he went home to be with his wife. And guess what happened, by the way? Elizabeth got pregnant. Yeah, I've always looked at this story, and I love it, and I've always thought to myself, maybe the miracle that happened, I've always wondered, maybe the miracle and the reason why she could never get pregnant, now she's finally pregnant, is because Zechariah couldn't speak. The married people will get that. But she gets pregnant, the very thing that they had dreamed up their entire life. And the story tells us that when the child was born in Luke chapter 1, verse 59, it says, when the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. If you're in the room and you have no idea what that means, just ask your parents on the way home. They would love to tell you all about it. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, no. His name is John. What? They exclaimed. There is no one in all your family by that name. They would often name a child after the father or someone to keep that namesake alive. Look at verse 62. I find this curious. It says they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. And he motioned for a writing tablet. And to everyone's surprise, he wrote his name is John. And by the way, John means God is gracious. God was gracious to them. And it says instantly Zechariah could speak again and he began praising God. I find something really interesting about this portion of Zechariah's story. Because we know that when he didn't believe, that he couldn't speak. But did you pick up what happened when they wanted to know the name of the baby? It said that they made gestures to him to ask him what the name of the child would be. Can I ask you a question? Why do you have to make signs or gestures to someone who can't speak? What we find out is not only couldn't he speak, but it appears that he also couldn't hear. I couldn't help but wonder if maybe Zechariah's life and his story kind of mirrors what a lot of us maybe have experienced in our journey of faith. There was a time that maybe we believed, but then we had disappointment, and we had hurt, and we had some pain in our lives. And all of a sudden, we stopped believing, and the first thing that goes is we stop speaking and praising God and being thankful to God. But then what happens beyond that is that we have a hard time hearing from God, and eventually we stop believing in God. And I know that this is not the traditional part of the story, the Christmas story that we're all familiar with and that we hear told every Christmas season. But I couldn't help but think that maybe Zechariah and Elizabeth's story can so easily represent our story. That maybe like Zechariah, some of you know the pain of life's problems. Maybe like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know the pain of experiencing massive disappointment in life. We all know what it's like to be born into a dark world, a world that's filled with evil, a world that's filled with pain and suffering, a world that's filled with brokenness. We all know that. And if you don't, listen to me, you grow up, you're gonna experience it. And maybe that light that was once inside is kind of dimmed. Maybe at one point you're like, I wanna believe, but all of that just kind of suppressed it, and it just got harder and harder to hear the bells anymore. Think about what the angel said to him. Zechariah, I know you don't believe, but I want you to hear this. He said, my words will always come to pass at the proper time. At the proper time. I think that's really hard for us to take. I have a hard time with that because sometimes I've prayed for things that I so desperately wanted God to do, and he hasn't. And I've wondered, maybe you're not there. And then sometimes I discover that it's just not the right time. Do you know when Jesus showed up, it was the proper time? But do you know what it was like before Jesus showed up for the nation of Israel? For the people that believed in the God? Do you know what it was like? Scripture lets us know that from the last chapter of the Old Testament to the very first chapter of the New Testament is a span of 400 years where no one heard from heaven. No prophet, no priest. Every prayer lifted up, no response. No one heard a thing from heaven, and everybody started to wonder, is God still there? Are you still around? And that's why he ultimately sent Jesus to step into human history to say, yes, I'm here. But it didn't happen until the proper time. The proper time. And here's the thing, when it comes to the story of Christmas, and maybe some of you, you're here, and maybe you say, I'm not very religious, and to be honest, the story of Christmas is beautiful, but it feels a little bit like a fairy tale. It's kind of hard for me to have faith and believe. And sometimes I think I understand that, because the reality is the story of Christmas is surrounded by impossibility, isn't it? Think about it. I mean, Zechariah and Elizabeth, past childbearing age, to have a son, that's impossible. Mary, virgin, teenager, to have a son, that's impossible. Even Joseph struggled, her fiance, no, there's no way you're telling me that this is of God. Impossible. The prophecies that predicted how Jesus would come and every single one of them being fulfilled, that's impossible. I get it. How am I gonna believe the impossible? Well, let me ask you this, okay? What if we just removed the impossible from the story and the life of Jesus, would you believe then? Let's just remove it, okay? Let's remove that Jesus came born of a virgin. He came in the most natural way. Would you believe it was the Son of God? He was the Son of God and he came from heaven? No. Because that's, we know how it works. What if you took away all the miracles that people, eyewitnesses, saw him do and experience? You take away the moments where Jesus healed the deaf so that they could hear, and he opened up blind eyes, and those who were mute so they could speak, and those who were dead, he raised to life, and the lame who couldn't walk that he touched, and they got up and carried their mat and went home. What if we remove all those stories? Would you believe that he's the Son of God? No. He'd be like you and me. And would you have any kind of hope for eternity if Jesus didn't die and they stick him in a tomb and then on the third day he comes walking out to say that I have defeated death and there is something after it? Would we believe in eternity if we didn't have that? No. See, I would just suggest to you, and I understand the impossible stuff's hard to believe. I would suggest to you that God did all of this around Jesus in the most impossible way so that you and I would believe. That was his sign to say, no, this is really me. And I do care about you. I do love you. That's why I'm sending my son Jesus. And I know it's just harder to believe the older we get. But you know, maybe Christmas really is for kids. Maybe it's just something for kids. I don't know. But what if it's for all the kids, not just those who are young in age? You know, Jesus really kind of said something along this line in Luke chapter 18, verse 17. I want you just to hear these words. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a what? Will never enter it. Listen, that doesn't mean that you have to put away all your questions, your hard questions. It doesn't mean that you won't wrestle with doubt. You ask a lot of people in here that believe in him, they tell you they wrestle with doubt, and so do I at times. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face disappointment, because that, unfortunately, is part of the experience of living in this broken world. It doesn't mean that you have to put away your intellect. It doesn't mean that you just blindly believe. What it means is that you take a posture with childlike faith, not childish faith. It's a posture where you say, God, I've got a lot of questions, but instead of staying here and saying, God, I'm refusing to believe until you show me in some crazy way, it's taking a posture that says, God, I'll walk with you to discover the answer to these questions. And I know that because, can I just be honest with you, that was a little bit of my journey. It's a little bit of my journey because I grew up around church hearing over and over, but I had a lot of doubts and a lot of questions, and it wasn't until I was 17 years old where I had a moment with Jesus, a moment like right now, where faith came alive inside of me. And I still have had questions. My whole journey of faith has been filled with questions and struggles and doubts and disappointments, but I've chosen to take that journey with God. And can I just tell you, it was the greatest decision of my life to place my faith in Jesus, because here's what happens. After we place our faith in him, that's when we can start to hear the bell again. That's when all of a sudden faith comes alive. And the magic of Christmas is really around putting your faith and the one that it's about, Jesus Christ. And that's when everything changed in my life. And so tonight, I just really believe, some of you here, that you're here for this moment. You're here for a reason. And I just sense that maybe faith is beginning to rise in you again. I want to give you an opportunity to just take a step toward God. So would you just bow your heads with me? Can we pray for a moment? God, I pray. I pray, Father, for every person in this room that maybe has prayers that they have lifted to heaven and they haven't heard anything back. Those who've had prayers for their loved ones, those who've had prayers for their life, those who've had prayers for their marriage, prayers for their son, their daughter. God, I pray that tonight you would fill them with hope and to know that, God, your promises, you don't always promise to give us what we ask for, but your promise to always show up, to always reveal your purpose and your plan, it happens at the proper time. So I pray, God, tonight that you give them the courage to receive that. And as we're praying, I wonder if maybe there's some of you here tonight, many of you, I want to say, here tonight. As I was talking about what it means to believe again, or maybe to believe for the first time, you have felt faith beginning to rise inside of you. And it doesn't mean that you don't have questions. It doesn't mean that you don't struggle with things. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be perfect the moment you take a step of faith toward God. But I can tell you that it'll be so much better doing it with him. And you need to know the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came, but he didn't stay a baby. He came and he lived on this earth a sinless life because he was the Son of God. And he gave his life for you and me on a cross. He died a death he did not deserve. But he died it to make the payment for my sin and your sin so that you and I could be right with God. If you're here tonight and maybe you sense that separation from God, you know the life you've been living. Some of you, I want to say that there was a time when you did believe, but life, you got distracted or you got disappointed or you got doubts that just caused you to drift away and stop believing. I just believe by the Spirit of God, faith is beginning to rise in you and it's time to take a step toward him right now. Others of you, I just want to say there's some of you that you made a decision to follow Jesus, but you'll be honest that you have drifted away, and maybe tonight's a night of getting serious and recommitting your life to Jesus. If that's you tonight, if that's your prayer, I'm going to invite you just to pray it with me as I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And just right now in the personal moment with you and God, just be honest. Maybe use this prayer and let it represent your words. And in your own mind, you tell him this. If that's your prayer, would you just say something like this with me? You say, Jesus, tonight, I put my faith in you. And I believe that you are the Son of God. That you came because you love me. And you died for my sin. And on the third day, God raised you to life to give me hope. And so in this moment, I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sin from this moment forward. With my doubts and my questions and my disappointments, I choose to follow you. But listen, as we're still praying, I just believe maybe many of you here in this moment, online, in this room, you prayed that with me. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor in just a moment. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you prayed that with me, I'm going to ask you just to boldly stand up. To just stand right where you are. That's all you'll have to do. We have something we'd love to put in your hands, so I'm going to ask you just to remain standing until you get it. But I really believe that sometimes when we do a physical response, it just solidifies the decision that we made in our heart tonight, and it represents that you're a new person. And so you know who you are, maybe for the first time ever. Some of you, I want to say, I just believe maybe tonight was a night of recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. If that was you, I want to ask you to stand. And I don't want you to shy away. I know you're thinking, but I came with these people. I'm with a friend. I'm with somebody. I'm around somebody I don't even know. Listen, it doesn't matter. We're going to celebrate with you. And heaven is celebrating what God has done in your life. And so this is a moment. Don't shy away. On the count of three, if that is your decision tonight, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand up if that's you. Come on, stand up. Praise God for you. I see you back over there. Over here, sir. If that's you, stand up. Come on, I see you right here. Right, God bless you right there, sir. All of you guys, come on. God bless you guys. All back. I see you over there right there. You guys down here, come on. Welcome to the family of God. Come on, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. Congratulations to all of you guys. Amen. Amen. Sir, congratulations. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you back there. Back there. We've got a whole group back up here, please, in this top section. I want to make sure we get everybody up there that needs one up there. Woo! Come on. Awesome. Awesome. Just remain standing until you get what we have to give you. Did we get you guys all something? You all got it? You guys get it yet? Come on up there. Oh, come on, ushers. We got to take care of them. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's move double time tonight. Come on. This is a big moment. Come on, church. We celebrate with every single person. Woo. Amen. God bless you guys. Hey, listen, it's the greatest decision of your life. Can I just say that to you? Sir, greatest decision of your life. Listen, your problems don't disappear just because of this moment. But I'm going to tell you something. You will not face them alone because God's with you. And Scripture tells us the moment we choose by faith and put our faith in Him, that we become a new person. And so here's the best news of all. Anything and everything you ever did that you're ashamed of, when you walked in here, between you and God, that is wiped clean. The slate is wiped clean. He has forgiven you of everything you've ever done. Come on, that is the greatest news ever, isn't it? Awesome. Hey, listen, congratulations. Congratulations to all of you. Now, listen, we have something where all of us get to participate at this point in our experience, something we do every year. It's kind of a tradition. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to get out your phone. I know often in church they say put it away, but now I want you to get out your phone. Every single person. I want every 100% participation if you have a smartphone. Now, if you're 6 years old and you don't have one, don't worry about it. And if you have a flip phone, I apologize. What we're going to do right about now will not help you. You can sit there and play Snake on your phone. But for the rest of you, can you do me a favor? Take your phone and open your camera app. I always like to say, just go ahead and take a picture of me if you would just post it and say, the best pastor you've ever heard. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But what we want to do is we're going to put a QR code on the screen or the seat back in front of you. Either one works. And we have a little Christmas survey that we love to ask our entire church community to take. And even if you're a guest in town, you can take. It just helps us get to know the community that we're reaching. So you click on the Christmas survey button when you go in there, and you can take it with us. I would love for everybody to do it, okay? Just go ahead and take a second to do it. There's a place on the first page for your name, email, phone. Put whatever you feel comfortable sharing with us. We're not going to spam you, I promise you, okay? But we want to have a way to connect with you. There's a way for you to share a prayer request with us, and we have a prayer team that would pray. So leave us that information if you don't mind so we can do that. And then when you go to page 2, we have a few questions, and I'd like to go through some of them together if we could. Okay, we'll do it quickly. Number 3, hopefully you're there. If not, you'll catch up. Okay, just work on it. You got it. Number 3 says, going into 2024, which of these things is most concerning to you? Feels like the end times. Zombie apocalypse, or Jesus returning, one of the two. Presidential election, political year, economy, inflation, global conflict. Pick the one that's most concerning. And the reason why we ask this is because this year I'm going to address some of these topics with a message series. And so this helps me know, hey, what is pressing on you? I want to be able to speak to it. The next question, number 4, which of these describes your current relationship status? Go ahead and just pick it. That's not a trick question. Should be pretty easy. Number 5, which of these is most concerning to your relationships? Could be remaining single. Could be conflict in your marriage, financial tension, communication, trust issues. Pick the one that's most pressing. And then the next one, honestly. You know what honestly means? Let's be honest. How often do you attend church? There's no right or wrong. We're not going to judge you. We just love to know, like, what is your rhythm for going to church? And then number 7, if this is your first time at X Church, you've never been here before, would you just let us know? Just click yes. If not, no. Now, number 8, this is a really important one. I would love everyone to at least fill out number 8. How would you describe your faith journey? You say, I don't know that I believe in God. Let us know. Be honest. I'm open to it. I believe in Jesus. Now listen, if you stood up tonight, if you stood up with me, you're gonna check box 5. Please do that. Today, I give my life to you. And I hope you gave us your name and at least email or phone, because we're just gonna send you some resources to help you take your next step. Real simple. But just today, I gave my life to Jesus. And then there's a box where you can let us know how we can pray for you. And by the way, we have a prayer team. And every prayer request is gonna go to them. And we just talked tonight about God hears our prayers. So why not have some people praying for what is pressing on your heart, okay? And so just thank you for helping us do that. When you finish, you can submit that. Thanks so much for tuning into this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.